você aí. Não tenta não, cumpadre.
Help the way you make me feel. I can't tell if this is even real.
Is that the upright Simon? Simon, looking like somebody's uncle. I'm an uncle. Osi, I just got to talk to you about your shirt game right now before we get started.
You like that?
Yes, it's amazing.
Take the blue pill.
If people can't see it, it's the blue pill. And it's luxurious looking, the material of the shirt.
That's really nice.
So I think it's from the site that I will not purchase anything from.
Exactly.
But it's a winning shirt.
Yep.
And it means a lot.
It
because
does.
It's the blue pill.
It's the blue pill.
Why did you wear the blue pill today? What's on your mind?
Because I don't have the red pill. I took the blue pill. You understand what I mean? I took it. And this is the one that in the Matrix, right?
Yeah.
Chris is the one that, like, is the truth. Is that
the blue pill's the truth?
Yeah, the blue pill is the truth. So I took the blue pill as the truth, man.
I want that shirt.
Yeah. I got some truth for you.
I'm ready.
I do.
Tell me.
I'm looking. Maybe you guys can help me out with this. I'm looking for a PR firm to help with the we're going to rehabilitate the word black.
We had this discussion.
Yeah.
We had this discussion.
Yeah.
Let's back up. Let's tell them what the discussion was and why we're going to rehabilitate the word black.
Yeah, I think it's just we have to, because I'm not going to say now, but it's an insult, right? You say
it's not an insult.
I'm saying it's not, but they use that as, oh, you black this, and because you put black before it's now insults. Is this what it is? So black is no longer, the color black is now a derogatory term. It's not even, anything you say and you put black in front of it is now, this is now a bad thing. So I think if we can hire like a really good PR firm to rehabilitate the actual word black, because it's not supposed to be an insult. I'm confused.
It isn't at all. It's beautiful. I mean, black suits have maintained greatness throughout history.
Yeah.
I will say this. Someone, I will not take credit for this, we were having a discussion with, made a good point, and how their generation, they were examining their generation, and they said this person is around mid-40s.
Yep.
And they said the way their grandmother or grandfather, I'm not sure, would describe someone,
yep,
they would use color first.
Yes.
And the way his kids do, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, not at all.
Not at all. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, they can't even see it.
Mm-hmm.
They truly don't see the color. They come up with more descriptive measures to describe something or someone than just purely color-based.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, because I was watching this documentary, Anton Ferdinand is his name. And he had an issue with John Terry.
Yes, I watched half of it almost.
And John Terry called him a black whatever, right? And I was like, if he wouldn't have said black, if he would have just said the C whatever word, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But the fact that he put the word black in front of a highly disrespectful term made it even more. Made it racist. And I was like, that's already an insult. And that's not a big deal. But because you put black in front of it, now it's... In my head, I was like, black shouldn't be...
Black's beautiful.
Yeah, it shouldn't be... That shouldn't be like a... Somebody shouldn't be able to say that to you as an insult, or say that to you as... And now he's a racist because he called you a black this. No, black is beautiful. Black is wonderful. And so... If you call me a black whatever, I'm not going to take offense to that. But, you know, I'm going to take offense to what you said after that.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
I do. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from you on this subject because of your perception of the world, obviously, with your background being different than mine. I understood things about myself and the way I saw societal issues around me and how I observed them and it was coming from a place of being a black American.
Yeah.
And once I realized that in conversations with you and friends of yours, I was able to then understand myself and then try to adjust accordingly. I will say, especially with the documentary you're speaking of, I feel sorry for people that don't have the ability to engage in criticism.
Yeah.
Without having the intellectual capacity to use better words.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for them.
Mm. Got you.
I feel, you know, I'm taking the power from them. Yes. They don't have the power, OC.
Yes. Yes.
They don't have power, so they simplify things.
Yes.
They make it about color because that's all they see because they don't see the world. They've taken the red pill.
Mm. They have taken the red pill.
And that's on them.
Mm-hmm.
No longer do these people have power.
Yes.
They don't have power.
Yeah. We're gonna
we have the power because we see and we try to understand and we try to make this world a better place by coming together and seeing all of our differences and understanding that and explaining that and having conversations. The ones that don't want to engage, guess what's going to happen?
Mm.
These kids, this next generation,
as
they move on, they're going to look up and you know what they're going to say?
Mm.
Ah, you know, that generation just didn't get it.
Yeah.
You want to be in that boat? Go ahead, sail off.
Yeah.
Sail off.
We have to. I feel like as people, or if you're in the marginalized community, we have to start taking the power away from people with their words. You understand? Yeah. We have to start taking away that power from them. You know? We need to start taking away the power. The same way I would say black people took away the power of the N-word once discussing amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's no longer, it's not like a...
Yes.
It's not that between black people, right?
Yes.
Because we found a way to take away the power of that word.
Yeah.
And so we have to find a way to start taking away the power of these words that people have over us. You are a black this. We can no longer allow that to be an insult.
Well, where is
it? We can no longer allow it to be an insult.
Where is it an insult? Because what you've taught me is, obviously, with your vast African background.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an insult in Africa.
It's not an insult in Africa, right? But here's the thing, Jay. We sat here and watched an hour and a half documentary on, you know, this is racist because John Terry called this guy, black this. And you made a whole documentary about that being racist.
Yeah.
We got to take away that power and stop focusing, like we discussed last week, on real, real issues.
Oh, see, you're right. We're not victims.
Yeah, we're not.
No way, no chance.
No.
We are too strong as human beings, able-bodied, to be victims.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think that's why we always discuss the true power and the strength are the elite on top and them separating those in the lower class and having them class with each other, because the only thing that can force change to happen is the masses coming together.
And they don't want that.
And that's truly, I mean, and they don't want that.
Mm.
I mean, we have so much, we as people in each socioeconomic class have so much going on that's alike, and the issues that impact us all are the same. If we just came together and we forced our hand, change would happen.
Mm.
But yet
we're not doing that.
Stay distracted.
Yeah. Does he call me a black fool?
But I will say this, OC. OC, I will say this. I am sympathetic, because you never know. I wasn't in that situation, and it didn't. And I don't know. I've been in situations where there's been some difficult racial things said to me. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
They hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
So I can't be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how it impacted me. But I'm to your point, I understand. At some point in my mind, I said, I am no longer a victim.
Mm.
Never thought I was, but, you know, I just... You're not going to impact my day-to-day joy.
No.
Because of your ignorance.
Doesn't make any sense.
No chance.
No.
It doesn't even happen. It, like, fly by.
Yeah.
You know, just like the driver who told me I didn't do well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
forget him. Forget that guy. Yeah. We're done with that.
We're done with that.
So now we're looking for a PR firm.
Uh-huh.
So if you know of any PR firms that can
help. I
think I
do.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, send me the message.
Okay.
And any of our listeners out there who have some really good PR firms that can allow us to rehabilitate the word black and bring it back to where it needs to be, so where it's no longer insult, please let me know.
I think where it needs to be in certain countries, right? That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I know. That was interesting. That's a good way to start today. That being said, if you can get me the blue pill, send it over.
Yeah.
Make sure it's wrapped up well in the freeze. Does it have to be, you know, what's the shipping like on the blue pill?
Doesn't cost too much. Maybe about 15 pounds. 15 pounds shipping. But the blue pill is very, very important that, you know, we start to take the blue pill as much as possible.
Yeah.
If possible.
Speak the truth.
Yeah.
Learn the truth.
Yeah.
Discuss it.
I understand the red pill. I get that.
I do too. I've taken the red pill many times in my life.
Certain
things you don't even want to think about. But I mean, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that have that situation.
Mm.
And not everybody takes the blue pill, OC.
They take the red pill.
There's a lot of teams taking the red pill.
Mm.
I saw something last night, though.
What's that?
I saw a game.
Mm. It was a good game.
I saw a game.
A great game.
It was a great game. And I'm seeing a shift in that division.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought the Browns are what they are now? I know they lost the game.
Yeah.
But how impressed.
You can lose and win.
You can lose and win.
Yeah.
How impressed. I mean, first of all, I mean, I didn't think the game was going to have that many points of the Ravens versus the Browns.
Yeah,
because I had much more faith in Ravens defense than giving up 40-plus points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Baker Money Mayfield is feeling himself.
Mm.
Stefanski, the head coach, is calling plays, specific game plan stuff that I like. But Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I mean, dude's all over the place.
Yeah, he had outstanding performance. He went inside. I think he was suffering from cramps.
Yeah,
or something like that. And yeah, I know why you're laughing because I heard that too. But he said it was cramps, so we'll say it was cramps.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. But the way he was running, huh?
What do you have to do?
You know, have you seen him when he was running into the locker room?
Yeah.
They say he had to take a number two. It wasn't no cramps. That's what. You know.
Yeah. But that could be cramps too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stomach cramps.
Yeah.
Right. So he had to do it. He came out, led the team down. And, you know, they scored. Incredible game.
You, it's something funny. I don't know if you saw this. I just vaguely remember this back in the day. You know James Brown, right? James Brown, the singer.
Yes.
Okay. The late James Brown. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, James Brown would do his shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like towards the end of the show, his dude, his assistant, would throw a cape on him.
Yep.
Like he was done.
Yeah.
Game over. James Brown is done.
Yeah,
show's
finished.
Over.
Yeah.
And he would throw the cape back off and start singing again and start busting out the moves.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I saw with Lamar Jackson. He's an entertainer.
Yeah.
You think he's done. That man throws the cape off. He's back out there doing the splits.
Came
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. That's entertainment, man.
It was a signature game, a signature moment for both of these young quarterbacks. I think they performed very, very well for their football teams. It was incredible.
It really was. And who – I mean, you never know, right? As a season goes, it has its ups and downs. Teams are becoming themselves, and you see whatever their skill set is, it comes down to really having that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have that guy. Can I say something else that I think is important in this time, in this serious time of the season and in life?
Mm-hmm.
Kickers matter.
Mm.
Kickers matter.
Justin Tucker.
Kickers matter.
Yeah.
We make a lot of fun about kickers.
Yeah.
We talk about their political views and how they have a lot of time in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I played with a kicker one time.
Mm.
Every time I saw him, he's in the hot tub.
Yep.
Every time.
Just relaxing.
Every time the man was in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, how? I mean, what? This was when I was in Houston. I'm not going to name his name.
Yeah.
He's in the hot tub with a book.
Mm.
Like, in the hot tub with a book. We going to practice.
He's just chilling.
Book.
Yeah.
He read novels.
Wow.
We trying to learn plays.
Yeah.
Time on his hands.
I bet you it must be cool to be like a really, really good kicker.
Yeah. As long as you making him kicks.
Yeah. Like. The guy from Baltimore, Justin Tucker, I bet you it must be incredible because you don't. All that hard work that we're doing, they don't really do that. You know, they just kick the ball. They practice that. A lot of the times you see them, they're chilling.
Yeah.
But when the game is on the line,
ooh,
they come through for you, man, every single time.
They got a lot of pressure, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a repetitive thing, right? Mm. Snap, hold, kick. Snap, hold, kick. One thing goes wrong, it's all thrown off. I mean, how many times did they do that for just one kick?
Yeah.
One kick.
Thousands.
And thousands.
This guy, Justin Tucker, he's been there for a while. He's got to be the most clutch kicker in NFL history, no?
He is. And the thing about it is, and why I say that is, when we look at the teams right now and we go on into this playoff run coming up, you have to have a kicker.
Yeah.
Because if you have to get three points because of whatever situation, you got to be able to get it. You can't miss those opportunities out. Who missed all the field goal kicks from all these close games? And this is why they don't play with him like
Dan Bailey, Minnesota.
Dan Bailey.
Yep.
Dan Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dan Bailey was a top dog back in the day.
But he struggled at some point, right?
He struggled. Then he bounced back. Yes, yes. He struggled in Dallas.
Again. Yes.
Bounced back. Now, Zim likes him in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point of the year, you know, Minnesota's on the fringes of making the playoffs. You can't nurture your kicker back to health.
Yeah.
So do you cut the guy? Do you got to get rid of him?
Can't cut him now.
I mean,
where you going to find another kicker?
There's some on the streets, but it doesn't mean he's good. Agreed.
He wouldn't be on the streets if
agreed.
He was good.
But it's the confidence thing. I mean, do the kickers have time to bounce back? I don't think they do. And they don't give them that kind of time.
Yeah. You got to – a kicker is not the thing you can change this late in the season. I don't think you can do that. I think that the kicker, if you're going to make the changes, it's early in the season, mid through the season, but not towards the end. Like, I don't think you're going to find anybody who's going to be like a clutch kicker that you need for the late playoff push or during the playoffs just on the street. I just don't think that's possible.
I agree. And let me tell you something that's so funny. I never thought we'd spend this time talking about kickers.
Yeah.
But it's the truth. They matter.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry,
mm-hmm.
I think he's had the most 200-yard games. The five guys who have had him, I think he's the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd look for this, all in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Is Derrick Henry going to be a Hall of Famer?
Too early to say.
Yeah.
Way too early to say.
He has to have longevity, right?
Yeah, that's the key. And with his playing style, with his running style, I don't know how much longevity he's going to have.
True.
I hope he does.
Yep.
I enjoy watching him play, a physical specimen. But let's chill out a little bit. Yeah, before we start talking about Hall of Fame for Derrick Henry. That's a little early.
I just, you know, people start throwing out stats and stuff because of what he's done. And I'm looking and I said, I got to ask OC this because, you know, this is amazing, but it is about longevity. I played with Emmitt Smith, and the reason he's the leading rusher of all time is because he played 15 years, which is almost impossible to do at running back.
Yeah.
I think it was 15 years. Yeah. I might have to check that with Simon because he owes his money anyway. So yeah,
you could say, OC had 6 sacks in a game. There's 2 other people who have had that kind, Fred Dean and Derek Thomas, and they're in the Hall of Fame. Therefore, OC, are you going to the Hall of Fame?
Okay. That's
you know.
I mean, you would get my vote.
Yeah,
but I'm saying 15 years he was. 15 years. That is a great analogy. I totally agree with that.
It's different.
One other thing I want to run by you because it's interesting to me. We talked about leadership. Mm-hmm. We talked about grit.
Mm-hmm.
Having that. We talked about Aaron Rodgers and how, I mean, I definitely said this. I feel like that dude gets on the field. We got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Philly.
Yeah.
Gets the start.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dual threat dude. He's running around. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like he was throwing the ball all around the yard because he wasn't. But they had a great rushing game.
Yep.
But you hear the comments after, and players said, man, we've seen this guy in big games.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him in national championships. This dude we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you were talking about when you talk about grit or even the assumption that people see it? Because look, Philly, come on.
Yeah. I don't like what happened in Philly.
You don't like what happened in Philly?
No.
Because you don't think Carson Wentz should have been set down?
I think what Philadelphia did was lazy.
Mm. You always say this. I know where you're going with this. Okay, tell me.
It was lazy.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a win. Bad.
Because right. It gets miserable when it's you get loss on top of loss on top of loss.
Yeah, it gets miserable. Yep. I understand the feeling that they had.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I watched Jalen Hurts, I was impressed with his poise.
Uh-huh.
I was impressed with the fact that he was able to come in there and do what he did.
Yep.
I was happy for him. But when I look long term, mm-hmm. it was lazy by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Do you think – I don't necessarily believe this is a long-term decision.
That's why it's lazy. You understand what I'm trying to say?
I'm following.
This style that they played and they won with, they're going to win games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this isn't what's going to get you over the hump. I think – from my estimation, fixing Carson Wentz. You can't tell me that this guy can't play quarterback anymore.
They're going to fix him in offseason.
You can't tell me that.
I agree.
You understand what I mean?
I agree.
So, to me, long-term play would have been to just ride it on out with Carson Wentz. But then, on the other hand, you need to win.
Yeah, yeah. That's the conflict. Everybody in that locker room wants to win. So, if you're making a decision and putting a guy in that you think – man, this guy, we can't win with this guy. You lose a locker room. As a head coach, that means you can lose your job. If you have that, we've seen teams. I mean, Dan Quinn literally kept his job because that locker room loved him until he couldn't keep it anymore. They loved him.
Yeah.
And
you can't. I don't think you can win long term with this style of jail. Yeah. I just don't think long term you can win. So
I
this
agree.
is a short-sighted. It's a short-sighted move. I get it. I understand.
They needed a win.
You needed a win, but it's a lazy, Jason. It's lazy, and I can't stand it. It's lazy, man. It's lazy.
I agree, but yeah, you're right. For a short-term fix, they needed to do it, and I think this offseason they're going to get somebody, whether it's a quarterback guru coach that comes in, because – Carson Wentz played well under Frank Wright. We're going to see that. He's worth the investment. I totally agree. This one's really quick, this podcast, you know. So, but I want to throw one thing out. Your Steelers prediction is ridiculously coming to becoming true.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw Chris shaking his head.
Yeah,
by the way.
It is.
You've been around long enough to know that I'm usually right.
They are what they are, and they're not physical on offense.
Yeah.
So they have to be precise with these short passes, and people know what they're going to do, and they've exploited that. That being said, what do you think about the Bills? The Bills, bro, they're like this roller coaster I'm on with the Bills.
Yeah.
They are peaking.
I like the Bills.
At the right time.
Yeah, I like the Bills. I saw something yesterday on the Bills, and it was before the game, and it was Josh Allen, and this was, you know, the tunnel before they go out. He was in the tunnel and all the guys were coming, and he was saying something. He was calling some people to come to him, and then I saw Stephon Diggs was like, you know, talk to me, 17, talk to me. He was telling him to talk to him.
Yeah.
And the way he was saying it, right? And the way Josh Allen was standing and the way he was looking, I was like, this is the leader of that football team.
Ooh.
He is there. They believe in this. I saw it clearly. I was like, wow, this is incredible. Because there's that mentality, there's a swagger that you have, right? That when you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. And you've seen it.
He had it. He had it. And I was like, man, this team is going far. They are going to be a tough out with this guy playing the quarterback position the way he's playing it. They're going to be tough to beat.
That's why I asked you this question. And I truly don't have it figured out. But because of your experience in the playoffs, Super Bowls, you always see things on teams that people aren't discussing. Little things, little nuggets. It's the way your mind works. And you're right.
Mm.
He's playing outstanding. He is that leader. The offense is amazing. The defense has stepped up. Mm-hmm. But it's little things like that where you go, the belief is there.
Yep.
And that's what you need to have at this fourth quarter of the season going into your playoff push. Mm-hmm. You just got to be hot each game. And you have to have that dude. That dude.
They got him.
You can't not. You got to have that dude. I don't care if he's on offense or defense. If you don't have that dude or that unit, you don't win.
Yep.
You don't win right now. All right. Andy Aitchison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shout out. He wanted to know if we had watched the Anton Ferdinand documentary.
Mm.
We just had a discussion. Mm-hmm. Now, because this is a shorter pod, I got this question. Okay. And I'm going to give you a week to think about it.
Wow.
Because it's that big.
All right.
OC will answer this question from Paul W. Okay. This is from Paul.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Will there ever be a black NFL commissioner? That's too big of a question today. We'll come back to it.
There absolutely will be a black NFL commissioner.
And yes, there will.
Yeah.
I agree.
There's no question about that.
Not at all. But we can dig down to the nuts and bolts of that.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
I like it.
It might be OC. OC.
Man, I'm too radical. I'm way too radical, man.
We got to get the OC for commissioner movement. Simon just got $1,000.
Hola, mamacita, coming me for thunder. This your buddy, Uma Wanda, striking lightning thunder. Why you looking like it's August, it ain't even summer. What's it on your bumper, tell me what's your name and number.
I get numbers when I'm on the street, but I do not talk too much. Jump out gang on the street from the way, but I do not talk too much. When the sun's out, she looks swaggy. And I'm blacked out with no belly. Tell a girl, come chill, we make money. Then my lip tastes just like honey.